Okay, so I got out to Moon Tower again this year.
Yeah.
Thanks to them for the press pass, because I, as last year, had a fantastic time. It's a really great show. I don't do a lot of stand-up comedy stuff. I don't go to, like, Capital City that often. I go to the Oddball Comedy Festival every year that they do. It's like the big arena one that they do out of the Formula One track.
Yeah.
And I go to Moon Tower. And Moon Tower is notably better.
So this is all downtown.
It's all downtown except for the shows at Capital City.
Oh, okay.
Which
is close by you.
Ron Funches was at Capital City, but Capital City, if you have a badge, is a little harder to get into, so I didn't actually get out to it.
Oh, okay.
So I went and saw, went down and saw some shows at the Velveeta Comedy Lounge, the Parish, 800 Congress, which was a venue I hadn't been to before, but I really liked, and then Google Fiber Space. And then
I love that space, by the way.
It's a great space. And that's actually where my favorite show was. But I'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
So I went to see – last year I was very big into the headliners. I bought separate tickets for John Mulaney and Patton Oswalt.
Mm.
This year I wasn't as big. They had good headliners, but it wasn't anyone like I was dying to see.
So what was your kind of goal, like, veering toward people that you're like, well, there's TV familiarity there? Or you're like, I'm just going to get a good – introduction to some new people as well.
I always try to find a new people. I try to find these shows where they've got like 10 comedians going up, and then inevitably there'll be people I've seen on At Midnight or Saturday Night Live or Conan. I swear all of them have been on Conan.
Yeah, up and comers.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll be in TV soon enough.
Yes, yeah. Pretty much. But David Cross was there.
Ooh.
And I did get in to see his show at 7 o'clock. He was taping his new special, Making America Great Again. I don't know if that's for HBO or Comedy Central. It's got to be for HBO, actually, because there's no way Comedy Central can run with a lot of bleeps.
They do their After Midnight.
That's true. That's
stuff.
True. Anyway, it was I really loved his show. If you've seen David Cross's comedy, you know that it's even more sort of political and fiery and
raunchy.
And I thought it was hilarious. There was a bit at the end. He started doing some bits at the end where, like, some people walked out. And he says, it happens to me every show. He says, you know, I have at this point, like, 8 hours of taped comedy online. You can see what I do. He was like, but I think people said, oh, Tobias is going. I guess he's going to paint himself blue and do his act on stage. And it is kind of funny because, yeah, what David Cross on TV is very different from David Cross the comedian. So,
yeah.
But it was hilarious. If you like his sort of brand of political comedy, I thought it was a great set.
So who else did you manage to get?
So I was very excited that Jessica Williams was there.
Yeah.
And she
I've
does,
never seen her stand up.
She does a podcast called Two Dope Queens.
That just started, actually.
It just started.
Like, what, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I just started listening to it. It's with Phoebe Robinson, I believe, is her co-host on that.
Is that on Gimlet? Is that part
no,
of the Gimlet
I don't
network?
Think it's on Gimlet.
Oh, that's it's related to Chicago. No, actually, I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure. I haven't listened to it yet.
Now I'm like, actually, I don't know.
I just today downloaded it because I saw them perform and they were really funny. It was basically Jessica and her friend Phoebe sort of talking about what it's like to be a woman in New York, what it's like to, you know, they talked about catcalling, talked about dating.
So were they both there?
They were both there. And they went on as one set. And Jessica Williams did her own stuff too, I think, but I never saw those sets.
Okay.
I just saw the Two Dope Queens set.
So have you listened to the episode?
Not yet.
My understanding is that the show is sort of like the Meltdown slash maybe the Mob or something.
Okay.
Where it's them, but they also bring in a bunch of other artists that they feature in little mini segments within their episode.
That makes sense. That makes a lot. And they've got great personality. They're really funny. And yeah, I'm definitely going to check out their podcast after this.
Awesome.
I also saw John Radinsky.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know this guy, but he, they announced him. He's like, you know, from Saturday Night Live. And he came out and he's like, yes, I know you haven't seen me on Saturday Night Live yet. He's been on like for like 4 weeks.
He's
barely
new.
Been on. And he
Why
did,
does he sound so familiar?
He
then?
Did an amazing set. He did a bunch of impressions. He closed out with like this slow motion montage of his act. Set to like I Will Remember You, the music, and he's like most people just leave you with a say. He's like, I want you to remember our time together, and did this like slow motion recreation of his set to like soft music, which was hilarious.
That's very TV-esque.
Yes,
as well.
Yes, he was great, and I don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore, but I kind of every now and then I'm like, oh, maybe I should. And the other reason I thought that is because at one of the longest show I went to was on Friday night. I right after David Cross, I went to 800 Congress for the first time, which I don't know if you've been to that venue.
Yeah.
It's sort of a big open space. It's like catty corner from Paramount.
Okay.
It was an interesting space, and I got in for the end of what they call Shebang, which was an all female comedy spot. And that was where I saw Two Dope Queens. The second place I saw Jenny Zagrino, who I saw three times over the weekend and really liked. A few other people. But after that show ended at about 9:30, there was another show called Stars and Bars in that space. And so I just stayed. That was where I was going to close out my night. And that show had Hasan Minhaj.
Oh, yeah.
Had James Adomian, who you've seen in a bunch of stuff. Greg Berendt, who's like a longtime guy who's been around forever. Jesse Joyce, who's done a lot of At Midnight, was the host. And Martha Kelly from Baskets.
Oh.
Because she was an Austin local.
Yeah.
She did a set, and her set was very sort of...
I know people that know her.
Low-key, sort of, you know, the same kind of thing she was doing in Baskets is really funny. But the killer in that set was that because it was sort of a later show and sort of the height of Moon Tower, we had two drop-ins. And so this show was the longest. I got in there at 9:30. It ended about 1 a.m.
The anticipation. Who's the drop-ins?
So, one was Piff the Magic Dragon, which I don't know if you know this guy.
No.
This was probably my favorite discovery. Because this guy, I'd heard about him. He had a headlining show that was sold out that I didn't go to. He's a Brit. He comes out dressed in a raggedy dragon costume.
Okay.
He's carrying a chihuahua, also dressed in a dragon costume.
Oh, that poor chihuahua.
And he puts up a stand that's like Piff the Magic Dragon. And his thing is, he does a magic act that's also comedy. And he's got this sort of... he's the guy you think would basically be smoking on stage and, like, sort of is done with it all and frustrated with the audience.
Like Wilfred-y?
Yeah, it's like a persona. Guy? It's it's like a, why don't you get this? It was really funny. His magic is actually pretty good. It's sort of the side thing. He's like a comedian. But he was on Penn & Teller, and they talked about how his magic is great.
Hmm.
But basically, he brought this poor girl up on stage who had already been picked on by somebody else. And, was doing magic tricks and bits with the dog and bits with her, and he killed. He was so funny.
Awesome.
And he's got a ton of stuff on YouTube. Go check him out. The other drop-in was Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, really?
And she came in and did this amazing, energetic set where she was hilarious. Like, she got in the face of a couple of the front row and, like, yelling at them, like, do you know what it's like to take a dick, sir? she was doing her bit, and... I thought she was hilarious. I loved her. I don't watch SNL, but I'm now more excited about the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I understand why she's playing the character she's in Ghostbusters, because that's her persona. But I wouldn't want to be on a plane next to her. She's a mildly terrifying. But she
just
was
like super, like,
oh, super, super, super fast, super frenetic.
Yeah.
You know, super energetic, super, yeah, super loud. She was hilarious.
She's gonna take all the armrests.
It was a great, it was a great drop-in set. So that was really cool. And then my favorite show I saw, I went and saw it with our buddy Kyle Scott, who was also getting down there, going,
yeah, we should get Kyle on the episode.
We should.
Sometime.
He was covering as well. So, I saw a show at Google Fibers, my final show on Saturday, called Homecoming King.
Mm-hmm.
It was Hasan Minhaj's sort of one man show, basically.
Oh, you already saw him on Friday as well.
Yeah, I saw him do little bits of it, but on Friday he did the whole bit, and it was, I'd say maybe hour and a half.
Yeah.
He had some video stuff. He doesn't Google Fiber has that beautiful video screen.
Oh, yeah.
So he had some sort of video stuff that went on behind him, and it was basically a story of him growing up as a Muslim Indian American, his dad who was very strict, his mom who was back in India, there was like a single dad with this kid, growing up in that culture, sort of about the racism he encountered, and going to prom, this girl that he got involved with when they were both in like AP physics or whatever,
yeah,
and their story of prom and how they met up years later after they'd had sort of a falling out, and his first day going to the Daily Show interviewing. And it's basically this story of sort of, you know, he just got married a year ago, and he sort of hit on that too, that he'd, you know, been married for about a year, and he got married to a woman who's Hindu, and sort of how a Hindu Muslim was like not done, that was a big thing. Basically, it was all about his life, and it was really funny, but it was also just really, really touching, really amazing.
Yeah.
I have not seen anything like it. I was stunned. I was blown away. It was a fantastic show. Yeah. If you get a chance to see, and I don't know if it's going to go to a network at some point. I feel like it's kind of thing that they would have to do a special on at some point, like Netflix or somebody. But if you get a chance to see Homecoming King with Hasan Minhaj, go see it, because it was great.
I mean, I hear about these comedians who are, you're like, oh man, they must be great on set because they were able to get to these positions on like The Daily Show or on SNL.
Yeah.
And people just talk about them with such high praise.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen the set of like Leslie Jones or of Hasan Minhaj.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting.
It's once you see a set and you see sort of where he comes from. And he talked about, you know, meeting with Jon Stewart, and he had to write some original bits to impress
him.
To audition for The Daily Show.
Yeah.
I guess you write your own sort of bits, and then you run it with their runner, and then you run it with Jon. Ah. And he talked about that, and that's an interesting process thing. I don't know if it's the same with Trevor Noah or not. I don't know if they've hired any new correspondents since Trevor Noah's been on board.
Since his initial three.
Yeah, the people they brought on, Desi.
We have to watch the show.
Yeah. but it was sort of an interesting little glimpse into the behind the scenes of The Daily Show. And sort of, I remember Hasan Minhaj showing up, and I remember very quickly coming to like him, but I didn't know who he was at first.
Yeah.
And he did basically come out of nowhere. He was doing stand-up, but nobody really knew who he was at that point. So it was fascinating. And yeah, it's an interesting crossover between comedy and TV. I think that nowadays that with Comedy Central giving TV shows, you know, to Nikki Glaser, who's a stand-up, Amy Schumer, who's a stand-up, you know, they also draw from the web comics world or web video world, of course, with like Broad City being a web series first. Mm-hmm. But I think that comedy used to be like you do your sets, NBC would notice you, and they'd make you a show based roughly on your comedy, like Seinfeld, that out of Seinfeld. You know, any number of comedians, they grabbed and did that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing so much anymore. Like, it happened with Jim Gaffigan. You know, he did that TV show on, was it Nick at Night?
Like he got his late.
Yeah.
Game.
But and it was on, it was not Nick at Night, but it's one of those. It's like a throwback network. It's one of the ones that does the Betty White, the Cotton Cleveland and all that kind of stuff.
Oh. Well,
whatever that network
CBS,
is called.
CBS, isn't it?
No, it's a Nick-related network.
Hmm.
It's one of those cable netlets. And their whole brand seems to be sort of throwback kind of stuff. And so Gaffigan getting a sitcom like it was the 90s sort of fits their brand.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't happen for the most part. Mostly comedians get comedy work, and then they show up as a correspondent on The Daily Show, or they get a show on Comedy Central that actually is their comedy.
Or usually they get like a best friend bit part in some show. Like we did have Mulaney, and we had the Carmichael show.
Sure, yeah.
Which I guess is doing well.
Yeah.
But Mulaney wasn't.
But yeah, it's interesting to see. And you know, now and they go, you know, you get popular, you do a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, like us.
Are we popular?
No.
We got so popular and then we spun off into this.
That's right. a couple more things I want to mention. Every year when I go to the Austin Towers show, which is like all local comedians, and that was great. It was hosted by Jenny Zigarino, who I think is out of New York.
Hmm.
And I saw her set like three times. And she was really funny. Less funny the third time when it was mostly the same act, but still funny. I mean,
that's a problem, I would think.
You know, it is. That's one of the issues with Moontower is that you got to watch. They do a pretty good job of mixing and matching. So, like, you don't see a lot of comedians twice. But I saw like Jack Knight, who I like. I saw him twice, and he did mostly the same set, pretty much exactly the same set. And this is the problem I have with Jack Knight's set. It's the same one he did for Oddball last year.
Oh no.
And the worst part was, last year, one of my biggest favorite discoveries was Mike McRae, who's an Austin comedian,
yeah,
who I really like, who I followed on Twitter and sort of tweeted back and forth with a couple times. And I love his comedy. And I know he's got fresh stuff because he's always tweeting.
Yeah.
But his act last year, which I thought was fantastic, and obviously polished, and it's his bit, was the exact same act he did at Moontower again this year.
I guess when you have that big audience, you're expecting a little bit more of
to like, do the cream of the crop material,
international things,
yeah,
go with your strongest stuff.
I guess I was just bummed it was like the exact, like no change at all, exact same material. And it's a great set. He does impressions. He does Rip Torn and Don Draper and who's the atheist guy that he does?
Richard Dawkins.
Who's the British guy? It's not Richard Dawkins. Or is it Richard? Dickens? Maybe it is Richard Dawkins. He does a thing where Richard Dawkins is the spokesperson that they get for Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
And it's a hilarious bit. But the third time you've seen it, it's not as funny. And I was kind of disappointed that one of my favorite comedians from last year didn't have new stuff.
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. No, it's not Ricky Gervais. It was
Dawkins.
Yeah, Dawkins. It was him because it was the it wasn't a comedian. It was a atheist dude. But his impressions are spot on. His bits are really funny. But it was the same show I've seen. And that is the one thing about going to these shows is that everybody's going to have like their polished 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably more like 7 to 10. And so if you go to a show, you'll tend to see a couple people more than once.
Do you get comedy fatigue? I mean, that would be one of my biggest concerns.
You know, I don't. The shows are put together so well. Like, if you make it to Moon Tower, I feel like you've got a certain level of quality.
Yeah.
So I didn't see anybody just, like, bomb, which usually if you go to a big show, somebody's going to bomb.
No, I mean, I wouldn't expect that, but... And this just like seems you've, like a, you've a got funny enough. Complaint. Be like, I'm tired of laughing.
You know who makes
complaints?
You know,
I don't think I would feel that.
You know who makes complaints like that?
Yeah.
The Grantbot 2.0.
I do not like feelings one way or the other. So what about the organization? Did everything feel like it was like better than last year?
Moon Tower is fantastic. They put all the venues are really close to one another, so you can get to one venue or another. Getting in is easy. All their volunteers are great. This is a great festival. Even the show I didn't get to go to, I tried to go to Cap City on Wednesday to go to Ari and Kurt do 420.
Oh yeah,
because there was one up here, and I didn't want to go all the way downtown for one night for one show. So I went to try to get into Cap City, and it was packed. You know, there was no room for badges, and even then, the person there was really cool and was like, you know, hey, you can hang out if you want to. It's not looking great, but you're welcome to wait. And I was like, okay, now thanks for giving me the real scoop and not like letting me hang out all night and not get in. So, yeah. No, it was, it's a great show, really well organized. They get fantastic comedians. I going in this year, I was like, oh, last year they had Patton Oswalt, they had John Mulaney, they had this great lineup. And this year they've got like David Cross, who's great. And, you know, Piff the Magic Dragon, who I turned out to like, but not people I knew, like I desperately wanted to see.
Sure.
By the way, this reminds me of another drop in at that show. The reason the show ran for like 4 hours, Janine Garofalo, I think, showed up and
what?
Yeah, did a set, and that was kind of fun.
Oh, that'd be very cool.
So yeah, there were definitely names, but I wasn't as excited. But when I got down there, I was just blown away by what they got. They always put together a great show, and even if I didn't know the headliners, I'm glad I went down and saw the show. I was very happy with it.
Well, awesome. I think anyone who's big into comedy and, you know, of our TV listening audience,
yes,
that likes to see some of these people that they've seen maybe even in little bit parts on television or up and comers, it's a great opportunity. Looking forward to it next year.
Yes, definitely so.
All right, until next time, TV Dudes out.